KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klequon. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news. A Haines attorney is charged with inappropriate contact with a child, and Skagway's new state representative has strong words about this year's legislative session. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. A district attorney in Juneau has filed charges against a Haines man for alleged inappropriate contact with a grade schooler at the Haines school. The man was alleged to have touched the student inappropriately below the waist while he was assisting in a classroom in February. The student detailed the incident in interviews with the Child Advocacy Center in Juneau and said the incident occurred in the classroom where adults and other students were present. But court documents don't say if the incident was witnessed by anyone. The student reported the incident to a teacher and parent. Haines school officials said after the allegations surfaced, measures were taken to protect students while police investigated. Court documents show the man was interviewed by Haines police in February. He described the incident differently than the student, but he did admit to swatting the student on their backside as he sent the student back to their desk. He admitted it was probably a, quote, reckless action and wasn't appropriate. He also told police he thought a fourth-degree misdemeanor assault charge against him was appropriate. District Attorney Amy Williams has charged the man with first-degree harassment and fourth-degree assault. Both are misdemeanors. Williams said the man will be arraigned May 2nd in Haines District Court, where he will enter a plea on the charges. The April calendar is packed with Hainesboro Assembly meetings, many about budget issues. Scheduled for Tuesday is a committee meeting about several categories of the budget, including administration, assembly, economic development, police, and community funding requests. But those are just five of the 15 areas of the budget the Assembly will discuss, beginning at 4:30 on Tuesday. After the budget discussion, the Assembly meets in a regular meeting. On that agenda, Mayor Stephanie Scott is expected to discuss an engineer's update on the Ocean View slump area and an engineer's report on the Portage Cove Harbor. The Assembly will also vote to discontinue the Fire Service Area 1 Board. The board was inactive for several years because of a lack of members or quorum. Recently, when new members were appointed to the board, they said it was difficult getting guidance from the borough administration about its duties and how to interact with the fire department. Assemblyman Jerry Lapp introduced the ordinance to discontinue the board. The move has the support of officers with the Haines Volunteer Fire Department, who wrote in a letter to the Assembly, the board is redundant since the duties of the board are already done by the Assembly. New members of the board said they thought there were ways they could be of service, such as helping with grant writing. They also note the board has certain duties laid out in code, like recommending the annual tax for residents within the fire service area and conducting annual reports and audits. Borough code also says the Assembly will act on the board recommendations and that the board also has the authority to review rate exception applications from residents. But when the group recently voted to encourage the Assembly to keep the board active, the motion failed in a tie vote. Shortly after, one of the board members resigned. Assemblyman Lapp says he agrees with the fire department officials that the board is unnecessary, especially in light of the revival of the Public Safety Commission, a citizen board which is meant to promote positive public relations with police, fire, and emergency medical departments. The Haines Assembly meets for its budget committee meeting Tuesday at 4:30, followed by the regular meeting at 6:30. A complete agenda for both meetings is available online at hainesalaska.gov. This was the first legislative session in a while that Skagway has been represented by a Democrat. And Alaska's House Minority Leader is calling this session the worst ever. Representative Beth Kurtula said there were a few bright spots, But overall, the Juneau Democrat was frustrated and angered by much of what lawmakers did this year, especially the majority's decision to cut oil taxes. As part of a series of reports with Southeast lawmakers, Matt Lichtenstein spoke with Krutula shortly after both parties held their post-session press conferences.
For House Republicans, who have a three-quarters majority, it was an incredible session. Here's some of what Majority Leader Lance Pruitt of Anchorage had to say the day after adjournment.
And it's just been a dynamic year. I look forward to being able to tell my kids years from now that I was a part of the legislature that did the things that we did today, or did in this session.
Most prominently, majority lawmakers changed the tax structure, called Alaska's Clear and Equitable Share, or ACES, to provide billions in tax cuts for oil companies. Supporters say the changes are aimed at encouraging more oil development in Alaska. However, they've also likened the chances of that happening to a crapshoot. Opponents, such as House Minority Leader Beth Krutula, believe the impacts to the state's bottom line will be devastating.
I think history will show that this was the worst session and that the oil tax giveaway is going to be the worst problem the state faces.
Krutula is one of the sponsors of an effort to get a citizens referendum on the ballot to overturn the oil tax cuts.
The history of our state is one of people coming in and taking our resources and leaving. It's been the gold and the copper and the fish and the fur, and we can't let that happen with the oil. It's our constitutional duty to mandate the benefit to our state. And we've just done this without one shred of evidence or guarantee that we're going to have more production or that we're going to have a benefit for Alaska.
Krutula is also frustrated that lawmakers failed to pass a long-term plan for education funding. Just at the end of the session, they added a one-time injection of $21 million for school security, energy relief, and other fixed costs. She says that's not enough.
What I want to see is an overall plan of how we reduce class size, we put the money back into the classroom, and we do it on a consistent, dependable way, rather than just this a pittance here, a pittance there, at the last second, you know, pulling money out of something else so that we can throw it at, you know, either transportation, which, yeah, those are high costs, all right, or energy, yeah, that's right, but you can't do just that.
Krutula says she's proud that the 12-member bipartisan Bush caucus joined with the House minority in opposing a measure that could pave the way for a school voucher system in Alaska. Senate Joint Resolution 9 remains in committee. It seeks voter approval for a constitutional amendment to allow the use of public funds to help pay tuition for students in private schools.
I don't have any problem with the family saying, we want to pay for or have our children go into private school. But that isn't even realistic in rural Alaska, even if you wanted to do it. So if this voucher system happens, it's a real undermining of public education, particularly in rural Alaska.
Krutula was glad lawmakers also held up a measure Governor Sean Parnell proposed to streamline the state's permitting process for development.
House Bill 77, which would change permitting in Alaska and would also allow the government to take away people's filings for water rights, was held up in the Senate and I think killed. And that happened because of the dedication of quite a few, even former legislators, who came in and said, this just can't happen. You can't turn it over wholesale like that. There's too many issues about what happens to people's rights, their ability to a public process. And we saw a number of bills like that were coming through very quickly.
And Krutula says she was relieved at the end of the session that a House and Senate conference committee restored $550,000 that had earlier been cut from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Southeast Port Sampling Program, which is used to manage the region's salmon fisheries. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
We'll hear perspectives from more Southeast lawmakers in the coming days on your local news. And some news from up the Haines Highway from our friends at the CBC. Local business owners in Haines Junction are going to open up a new grocery store. It's going to be small, but it's welcome news to people in the community. They haven't had a grocery store in almost 2 years. Rose Mazurer and her family operate the Kewaunee RV Campground and Gas Station in Haines Junction.
So had quite a few people coming by, thanking us to open up a store. it will help them big time because they have a tough time catching rides and the people that are sick. Now, we had a couple old people stop by thanking us, and they said, we'll support you. As long as we get the support from the people, we'll probably stay open year-round.
The small grocery store will offer the basics as well as some meat and produce. It will also have a deep fryer so the store can sell deep-fried fast foods. The store officially opens at the end of the month. The Yukon community at the junction of the Haines and Alaska highways used to rely on a store called Madley's for their groceries. That store closed in 2011 after 25 years of service. The owner said at the time the economy forced him out of business, although the owners were also far behind on mortgage payments. The store did not reopen after a break-in and shooting at the store in September 2011. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Matt Lichtenstein and Brian Boyle at the CBC for help with this report. And special thanks to Tara Bicknell for filling in last week. Join us for Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. when host Deborah Schnabel and her guests will be talking about homeschooling in Haines. That's Talk Around Town this Thursday at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.